MZTV.
After Mel Gibson's movie came out, The Passion of the Christ, there was an alarming response to it. I mean, people were rightly broken when they saw what our Lord went through. I mean, I've never seen it because I don't like what Hollywood does. It just Mel's over the top style. I mean, I'm not saying he didn't get right. I'm just saying I think Hollywood exaggerates things. But anyway, that's irrelevant. My issue with what happened in the wake of that movie, and this was almost universal. People came out of the theater broken. Unbelievable what Christ suffered for them. And their first reaction was, oh my God, I need to live a better life now. I need to make it up to that man. Now it's my turn to suffer. Like, he did his part. Now I need to show myself worthy of the suffering of that man. It was a completely satanic, this is satanically motivated reaction to the cross. And it was just amplified when that movie came out. But of course, it happened before that movie, and it has happened since. It was just, for me, amplified that this is most people's understanding of what happened at the cross was, wow, I really owe that man. And it's not thanks that they owe him. In their minds, it's living a better life, being worthy of what he did, which again is completely and totally not what a spirit-filled person experiences after watching our Lord's Passion, whether it's in a play or a movie or hearing it read or reading it yourself in the scriptures. By the way, I'm Martin Sender and welcome to MZTV. Now, personally, my response to it, as you know, and I can only attribute this to God, I'm going to go to the scriptures. I'm going to go to Romans chapter 6 and show you the spirit-filled reaction to the cross of Christ. I was so blessed in that my very first reaction to the cross was not, oh my God, what can I do to make it up to that man? Or I need to be worthy of what he did for me. My obsession from that day forward, and it still is I have to know you. I have to know you. I wanted to know him. The focus was completely not on me. I remember this, and I can't take credit for this. This was 1979. I didn't know anything yet. But God gave me this beautiful, sincere, real, and really a spiritual reaction to the cross after I had watched Jesus of Nazareth broadcast over Easter. It's April of 1979. I have to know you. I have to know you. I have to know you. My God, for a kid, a 20-year-old kid who didn't know anything. I mean, that I thank God for that. That not once was the focus on myself. And that was the beginning. God started me on the right foot. And then when I bought my first Bible, a New American Standard Bible, and I started reading it for myself, I became acquainted with the book of Romans, especially chapter 6. And I'm going to read part of Romans chapter 6 for you, and we are going to see a proper response. We were going to see what a proper response to the shock. And it's a shock what Christ endured. We're going to see a proper spiritual response to the shock of realizing what this man suffered for our sakes. Verse 3, Romans chapter 6. Or are you ignorant? This is the only option to what Paul's about to say, is you're ignorant. That whoever are baptized into Christ are baptized into his death. This is a shock. More shocking than the passion itself. We then, the result of what I just told you in verse 3, were entombed together with him through baptism into death. This was not the first thing I thought of. I thought of knowing him, but knowing him led to this. But the people who react in a way that compels them to want to perform for the sake of Christ. Here's how much I appreciated what you did for me. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Look how much I appreciate it. Look at how I'm behaving myself now. Look at how I quit my bad habit. Look at how I'm proclaiming the gospel, or what I think is the gospel. Look at how I'm feeding the poor now. Look at how I'm visiting the leper colony, or whatever the hell you're doing. It's... Do dead people do any of this? Do dead people visit the leper colony? Do dead people strive to become better dead people? This is the shock of Romans 6. Do dead people feel the need to perform for Jesus? No, you become dead. You are baptized. Those who embrace the cross, who want to know the cross, who experience the cross for themselves, find themselves dead. And maybe some of them walk out of the theater from Mel Gibson's movie feeling dead, but they shake themselves out of it, and that's their first mistake. You don't shake yourself out of feeling dead. I heard of people would just walk out stunned. They're like glazed eyes, and they feel undone. Stop right there. Stop. That's the beginning and the end. Feel undone, you feel dead. Stop right there. But they don't. They shake that off because Satan is now getting into their hearts. They shake that off. Oh my God, I felt passive there for a while. See, so I want to correct something that I said. I think their very initial response is correct, but they can't follow it. They can't follow it through because Satan moves in so quickly. Their first reaction is, oh my God. They're devastated. They're dead. But they shake that off like a dog shakes off a bath. Oh God, okay. Now, okay, I gotta get my shit together. Okay, whew. Oh God, I don't know what came over me there. Okay, now we gotta rally the troops. Get our shit together. And perform. Now it's just like, no, you had it for a second. And I think everybody has it for a second. I really do now that I'm thinking about it. I don't think people realize that they're supposed to remain in the stunned, almost paraplegic, almost like I am freaking finished after watching Jesus Christ. It's like, I'm undone. Yes, right there, right there, right there, right there. But no. What was that? Oh my God. Gotta get on the ball. This is the glorious true experience. Feeling undone. Paul doesn't call it feeling undone. He calls it being entombed together with him. So these people coming out of the theater or coming out of the playhouse or watching the Passion of Christ, they're supposed to feel lifeless, undone. Dead. Entombed. It doesn't sound like a gospel so far, does it? It does not sound like a gospel right now. But this is the prelude to the gospel. This is a necessity of understanding the gospel. Is feeling absolutely undone and dead after witnessing the passion of Christ. And it becomes all about him and nothing about you because you're dead. And Paul verifies this in Spirit-inspired scripture. We were entombed together with him through baptism into death. Baptism is becoming associated. The baptism of John was becoming associated with the message of John. It was a public demonstration. The water was not magical. The water that went over your head in the Jordan River didn't magically change you. It was just an outward sign of an inward decision to follow the teaching of the person. The baptism of John was an acknowledgement that I agree with John. Baptism of Christ is now I agree with Jesus Christ. I'm in the Jesus Christ camp. I want to be a part of what Jesus Christ is doing. You do? Okay, so you're going to be baptized into Christ. In the old days, that required water. But there's no more water baptism today. It's spirit baptism. And this is what baptism, all of baptism was pointing to this. All of baptism was a prelude to this, being baptized into Christ Jesus, into his death, being tombed together. It was a joint enterprise. In fact, not just the body of Christ, but the entire creation, all humanity was entombed with Christ. It is only members of the body of Christ who now understand it and realize it. Everyone will eventually realize it. This is why every single human being will one day be saved, is because the entire human race was taken to the cross. The old human race, the old humanity was crucified with Christ. We are given a realization of it, and we come alive to it. We get it early, and this is a strange position we find ourselves in because we are not yet resurrected from among the dead, yet we will be. But even as we occupy these bodies of mortality, even now, still we are to walk in newness of life, as though we were already resurrected from the dead. That's a tall order, and yet that's what we're supposed to do. I'm going to read on here. We then were entombed together with him through baptism into death, that even as Christ was roused from among the dead through the glory of the Father, thus we also should be walking now, in newness of life. Newness of life. We do not create the newness. It's just newness of life. It's declared to be. It's nothing you perform to get, nothing you work for. It is the new reality. For if we have become planted together in the likeness of his death, and we have, because God said so, that's it, that's simple. God said so. How do you know this is true, Martin? Because God said so. You can't make this stuff up. If we have become planted together in the likeness of his death, nevertheless we shall be of the resurrection also, knowing this, that our old humanity was crucified together with him, that the body of sin may be nullified. This mortal body will be nullified eventually, but for now it's not. For us, by no means to still be slaving for sin. And I'm telling you, slaving for sin is what the Christians are doing, shockingly. It doesn't mean they're sinning like crazy. It means they're slaving not to be sinners. They're slaving to perform better. They have no idea that the initial reaction to the cross of feeling numb is supposed to remain, that you're supposed to keep that feeling of numbness, and then you walk out into a world of new life. The numbness is the death of the old humanity, but you find yourself still alive. You're still breathing. So now what happens? You have to read Romans 6 to find out. Now what happens? Now you find out that you're walking in newness of life that has already been established for you. You're walking out into the sunlight of being declared righteous, into the sunlight of being declared a new humanity. It's a new day, and you didn't do a damn thing to bring it about. Nothing. You're still feeling numb. And yet you're in this glorious, sunshiny world where the favor of God is upon you. You are declared to be righteous by God. You're at peace with God, and He's at peace with you. He's at peace with you. And so, a person who realizes this, no longer slaves to perform. That's what Paul means by not to be slaving for sin. It's slaving to perform. It's slaving to do away with your sin. It was already done away with. It's stupid to slave for sin. And that is exactly what religious people do. They slave for sin. Sin demands that they stop sinning. Sin demands that they stop sinning. This is Satan talking to them. You have to stop sinning now. Look what he did. Look how much he suffered. You're going to keep sinning now? What a trick. What a trick of Satan. They are slaving for sin at that point. That's what Satan causes them to do. But those of us who realize that we were entombed together, we were dead, and we're still dead, and we're still numb, we walk out into this sunny world, and it's impossible for us to slave for sin because we died. And a dead person can't sin. For Christ's sake, a dead person can't sin. That's the crux of justification. Dead people can't sin. Get it? That's Romans 6 in a nutshell. Dead people can't sin. Get it? So what are all these people crawling around trying not to sin? Because they don't realize they died with Christ. They don't realize it. They're tricked out of it by Satan. Dead people can't sin. I got to write that down. That's good. Dead people can't sin. That's the crux. That's the whole point of being baptized into his death, being entombed together with Christ in Romans chapter 6. Oh, we will be of the resurrection, the actual resurrection of our bodies, but we're to live as though we're already resurrected. Sounds shocking. Let's go on. For one who dies, here it is, verse 7. One who dies has been justified from sin. One who dies has been justified from sin. Why? Because dead people can't sin. How can you sin if you're dead? Say, I'm going to keep buzzing around this beautiful monument of Romans 6. Dead people can't sin. Why are you worried about it? Why are you concerned about it? Why are you trying not to do something that dead people can't do? Verse 8 now, if we die together with Christ, how many times are you going to say it, Paul? How many different ways? This is the monument. Death. Numbness. I'm finished. I'm empty. In my flesh dwells no good thing. There's your reaction to Calvary. In my flesh dwells no good thing. I'm done. What can I do now? It's impossible for me to do anything based on what I just saw my Lord and Savior do. It's impossible. I'm done. I'm finished. I'm empty. That's it. That's the right reaction. Not, I'm going to gear myself up now. Now that I've recovered from that movie, I'm going to show him how much I appreciate what he did. By doing what? I'm going to conquer my flesh. You got to conquer your flesh. You see, those who think this way are trying to reform a corpse. They don't realize. They're beating a dead man. They don't realize that their old humanity was crucified with Christ, because this is mature meat. What I'm giving you today is mature meat. Verse 8, now if we die together with Christ, we believe we shall be living together with him also. Having perceived the Christ, being roused from among the dead, is no longer dying. Death is lording it over him no longer. For in that he died to sin once for all time. Wow, wouldn't it be nice to die to sin once for all time? Yet in that he is living, he is living to God. Thus you also. Wait a minute, verse 10. He died to sin. Oh, what a beautiful thing. If only we could be dead to sin. Once for all time. It's like to totally be done with it. Boy, I envy him. What a great thing. Sure, he had to go through hell to get there, but now he died to sin once for all time. But then Paul says, you also be reckoning yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. His present, his experience now is our experience, whether we live in it or not. We should be living in it. It's our reality. Thus, you also be reckoning yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, yet living to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. When you read verse 10, you envy him. Oh my God, he died to sin once for all time. Thank God he never has to be touched by sin again. Thank God he never has to. He never was a sinner, but he was touched by mortality, by the shit in the world all around him. And he died to it once for all time. Thank God that hard, laborious life he lived for 33 years, it's over. And now he's living to God. Oh, I feel so happy for Christ. I'm so, what a reality, what a resume, what an outcome. And then you read, this is also your reality. This is your reality. Being dead to sin and living to God. That's your reality. Christ's reality is your reality. Another shock in Romans chapter 6. Verse 12, let not sin then be reigning in your mortal body. No kidding. How could it possibly be reigning? How could it possibly have anything to say to me? Sin has nothing to say to me. Christians don't know this. Religious people of every stripe have no idea about this. The specter of sin constantly yells at them, constantly bashes their consciousness, constantly tries to make them perform for Jesus. Sin reigns in the Christian world. It reigns. They live for it, I'm telling you. They think they beat sin by not sinning. No, they're playing into the hands of sin. They're playing into the hands of Satan by trying not to sin. We're the ones who are living the truth. We're the ones who do not let sin reign in our mortal bodies because we've given up on trying to fight it, because dead people can't sin. So how the hell could sin possibly reign in your mortal body for you to be obeying its lust? That is to listen to it, to hear its voice. It's always chattering. Hey, hey, what about me? Hey, hey. You better do this, you better do that. You're not worthy. Look what Jesus did. Shut up. Dead people can't hear anything either. I'm going to end with verse 13. Nor yet be presenting your members as implements of injustice to sin, but present yourselves to God as if alive from among the dead. There it is. That's how our present attitude is to be. Present yourselves to God as if alive from among your dead. It's like, hey, I'm resurrected and perfect. And your fellow human beings look at you and say, who the hell do you think you are? Oh, it has nothing to do with who the hell I think I am. It has to do with who the hell Jesus Christ says I am. Present yourselves to God as if resurrected from among the dead. Pure, holy, perfect. Here I am. And that is the truth. And don't let anyone ever talk you out of it.